know you can't meditate. If you afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now let me see you get loose. It's going down for it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to hear from Paul Kruger, the outside linebacker who had 11 sacks last year for the Cleveland Browns. He will be with us today. We will also talk to Joel Corey, the former agent turned contract specialist from CBS Sports, and we're going to have him talk about the Sean Gibson situation. What does his second round tender mean? What do the numbers look like? What should Gip be asking for, in his opinion? What should the Browns be offering? Why that deal hasn't gotten done? So we'll talk to him about that at 2 o'clock. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, also will be doing a press conference very soon, talking about what people think might be a reduction in punishment already for the New England Patriots, as the NFL would look absolutely ridiculous if that turns around that quickly. But so that's all the stuff we've got coming up. But Matt, how are you doing today, brother?
I'm doing great, man. And again, just to reference, you know, the Robert Kraft live press conference, which we may throw to here in the next few minutes as it gets going, I could see, simply not because I want to be right, but because I thought what was fair is to rescind some of that fine, so reduce it from $1 million down to $500,000 or $250,000, which I thought would have been appropriate out of the gates. And if the NFL, I don't think the NFL can simply take away, or I mean rescind both draft picks, but the one most important one would be that first round draft pick. If the New England Patriots get that back, I think the fact that the four is in 17, not next year, and you're gonna pay that upfront money right now, that $250,000, that $500,000 right now, is probably the best case scenario for the New England Patriots, and also too, the best case scenario for Roger Goodell and the National Football League from not looking like absolute fools, because they have to maintain the fine and maintain at least one draft pick to save some sort of face.
And I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. It'll be very, very interesting. And the precedent that I've been keep hearing thrown around for the league to do something like this is when Roethlisberger first got dinged, and then he went and met with Goodell, and then it ended up getting reduced. So that's maybe what people are looking for there. Also, the NFL meetings right now, the spring meetings are underway in Arizona. Here are the extra point rule proposals, and we'll talk about these. Number one would be snapping from the 15-yard line for a 1 point, or placing the ball at the 2-yard line, which is it currently is for a 2-point attempt. Number two, snapping from the 15-yard line for a 1-point attempt, or placing the ball at the 1-yard line for a 2-point attempt. So it would be a 32-yard field goal, basically, for an extra point, and then at the 1 to try to incite more 2-point attempts. And the other one would be snapping from the 15-yard line for an extra point, or placing the ball at the 2-yard line for a 2-point. But in proposals 2 and 3, the reason why that's different than number 1, the defense can score off of the turnover and get those points. So if you
which
went
is
for
huge.
Two, which is big.
Which is big. You know, and you just think of the number of times, you know, when you think about the red zone, you look at quick slants, those little curl routes, you know, right, you know, you run the route 1 yard into the end zone so that by the time you catch the ball and you come back to it, the ball still, you know, passes that goal line. A linebacker steps in front of that, he's going to the house, you know, or a corner safety just knows by formation, by alignment of a certain player or two receivers, they're going to run those, you know, the double slants. And most likely you want to run a double slant down the red zone because you want to draw the defense to the inside slant to open up the window for the outside slant.
Yep.
And if a corner knows that and has done his film study, as we saw Tashaun Gibson do, maybe not in the red zone, but he knew what the Jacksonville Jaguars were going to do on that slant, jumped right in front of it. You know, not in that case, didn't go the other way, but down there, you know, offensive linemen are blocking, you're getting four guys out in a route. That's going the other way.
There's a lot of green, so those could be some 2 points, 4 point swings that could happen going forward. Some other stuff in the NFL to talk about. Justin Smith retiring from the NFL.
Too.
A beast.
That defense is going to look so different.
So I saw yesterday somebody was saying that there are only 3 players left from the defense of the Niners that went to the Super Bowl just 3 years ago.
Terrell Brown, gone. Free agent still right
yep.
now. Deshaun Goldson.
Gone.
He's with Tampa Bay.
Well, and then he left Tampa.
Correct. Yeah, where
is he? Washington. He?
Yeah, you've got what? Culliver?
Culliver's gone.
Gone.
You've got the people that are
Carlos
left.
Carlos Rogers, gone.
Gone.
Justin Smith, gone. Patrick Willis, gone.
Yep.
Ray McDonald gone.
Yep.
Okay. That's as far as I could get off the top of my head.
All right. The guys who are left.
Alden Smith.
Alden Smith. Navarro Bowman.
Yep.
Let's see.
Ahmad Brooks.
And Ahmad Brooks. And that's the three.
That's it.
5 of 11 are left on offense. Only 3 of 11 on defense.
That's crazy.
But think about who they – so this year they lose – you lose Frank Gore. You lose Iupati.
Yep.
You lose Crabtree. You lose – and then defensively, you lose Justin Smith.
That's huge.
Patrick Willis. Yep. They both retire.
Yep.
Borland retires.
Who was your heir apparent
to
at
Patrick
the other
Willis.
Inside linebacker spot.
Yeah. I mean, it is just...
And the defensive backfield's totally different.
Totally different.
You got to figure it, too. Also, no Dante from a couple weeks ago. Obviously, we have him here, but he was on those NFC Championship games, you know, teams, too.
He was on the Super Bowl teams, yeah. Absolutely. Interesting. This one...
That's why I'm counting it as a win, folks.
I agree. I think the 49ers... I think there is a very good chance that the 49ers end up last
flying
in cross the
country?
NFC West.
Flying cross country, too?
New head coach.
New
no
head
Harbaugh.
Coach.
We didn't even count the fact that.
Yeah,
new
no Harbaugh.
Harbaugh. But when you think the Niners and you think of their great run, you think of Justin Smith, you think of Patrick Willis, you think of Frank Gore.
Yep. Vernon Davis.
Vernon Davis,
yep.
Who's still there. But,
yep.
I mean, those three guys were the veterans that you thought of. Obviously, when Whitner was there, he was a big part of it, too. But Justin Smith, Patrick Willis, and Frank Gore were the perennial stars on that team. And the heart and soul, and they're all gone.
Exactly. And Tomasula's a good hire, but he's the equivalent to a Mike Pettine hire. You know, it's going to take 2 years or, you know, maybe a third year of growing their own culture and renovating, you know, some of those bodies in that room as they get older or get too expensive. In this case, some guys retiring for his plan to be seen out, you know, over the course of those 3 years. You're not going to get – he's not the instant flashy guy, but having played there for 1.5 seasons, Jim Tomasula is a great guy. He's going to be a little in over his head. And the other thing that I will say is, and I don't even know a lot of the names, you know, on their coaching staff, but the coaches that he brought in to coach those players are going to be as important as he is as a head football coach.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah,
huge.
Because they've got to coach their tails off.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, to bring everyone up to speed, to have young players going out there, especially in that division. You've got the Cardinals won double-digit games. Seattle's been to the Super Bowl, you know, the last two seasons.
The Rams are good.
And the Rams are a great defense. They're going to be hard to score on. You know, and they've got they now think they have their quarterback, and they're tooling up with weapons as well. So you're right. They might be the bottom dweller.
Oh, I think they are. All right, Robert Kraft is now at the podium at the NFL owners meeting for a press conference. We're going to throw it to him right now. When we come back, we'll have some more breaking NFL news. Lots of stuff going on in the NFL.
Let's go.
Here he is.
Two polarizing audiences. At one end of the spectrum, we've had Patriot fans throughout the country who have been so supportive and really inspirational to us and believing in us. But I'm also mindful at the other end of the spectrum, there are fans that feel just the opposite. And what I've learned is the ongoing rhetoric continues to galvanize both camps. And I don't see that changing, and they will never agree. But the one thing that we all can agree upon is the entire process has taken way too long. And I don't think anyone can believe that after 4 months of the AFC Championship game, we are still talking about ear pressure and the PSI in footballs. So I think I made it clear when the report came out that I didn't think it was fair. There was no hard evidence, and everything was circumstantial. And at the same time, when the discipline came out, I felt it was way over the top, as it was unreasonable and unprecedented, in my opinion. So I have two options. I can try to end it or extend it. And I have given a lot of thought to both options. The first thing that came to mind is 21 years ago, I had the privilege of going to a meeting similar to what we're at here in Orlando and being welcomed in an NFL owners meeting. So here's a fan and a former season ticket holder living a dream and being welcomed in that room. And I got goosebumps that day. And I vowed at that time that I would do everything I could do to make the New England Patriots an elite team and hopefully respected throughout the country. And at the same time, do whatever I could do to try to help the NFL become the most popular sport in America. You know, what I've learned over the last two decades is that the heart and soul of the strength of the NFL, that it's a partnership of 32 teams. And what's become very clear over those two decades, that at no time should the agenda of one team outweigh the collective good of the full 32. So I have a way of looking at problems that are very strong in my mind. And before I make a final decision, I measure nine times and I cut once. And I think maybe if I had made the decision last week, it would be different than it is today. But believing in the strength of the partnership and the 32 teams, we have concentrated the power of adjudication of problems in the office of the commissioner. And although I might disagree with what is decided, I do have respect for the commissioner and believe that he's doing what he perceives to be in the best interest of the full 32. So in that spirit, I don't want to continue the rhetoric that's gone on for the last 4 months. I'm going to accept reluctantly what he has given to us and not continue this dialogue and rhetoric. And we won't appeal. Now, I know that a lot of Patriot fans are going to be disappointed in that decision. But I hope they trust my judgment and know that I really feel at this point in time that taking this off the agenda, this is the best thing for the New England Patriots, our fans, and the NFL. And I hope you all can respect that. You know, I would normally take questions, but my desire is truly not to continue the rhetoric. And so I'm going to leave this discussion exactly here. Thank you very much.
That was Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, saying the team will not appeal the discipline against his team reluctantly. Tom Brady's appeal will go on. He said at no time should the agenda of one team outweigh the collective 32. Interesting, because yesterday all the rumors that came out were that he was going to, they were going to get a reduced punishment, as we had talked about earlier in the show. He wants to take the issue off the agenda, he says, of the NFL. Interesting. I wonder how Patriots fans are going to feel about that. I'm surprised that ultimately they are going to accept this, especially because one of the big things that people said, oh, it shows that they're guilty because they suspended those two employees. Well, then Yesterday it came out that they suspended them because the NFL told
request.
Them they had to suspend them. So it's I'm very surprised.
I'm very surprised. And, you know, at first here, my first thought is Robert Kraft nationally has already been looked up to because of what he's done in 21 years as the Patriots owner, hiring Bill Belichick, you know, six Super Bowls, four of which he's won, Tom Brady, that story, growing a business that he probably bought for $600 million into now multiple billion-dollar business,
sure.
Will now be looked up to more so than Roger Goodell. I think that he's taken the high road. They've taken it on the nose to let things get back to normal and focus on football and the business and the task at hand of operating from a commissioner standpoint, 32 franchises, and from his standpoint, going back and winning another Super Bowl.
It is unbelievable to me. This is very surprising to me. Now, he's saying that the partnership gets to the core of the idea of a professional league. More, it's greater than just one team. I am very surprised that that is the decision that he made, but it is certainly the decision that he has made. The Patriots will not appeal. We won't be talking about this much more. Obviously, the Tom Brady appeal, though, is the important one.
It is.
And they will go. That will still be ongoing. And I think this is a way of Bob Kraft saying, listen, I'm going to be a cool guy here. And now, Roger Goodell, if you thought you owed me before, you owe me now. And take one misstep and I will break you.
Exactly. But then also, too, now you have to figure it. You really can't think that way because you don't want the public to perceive favoritism with Kraft now. Simply like, oh, I made you look good for upholding this suspension. I'm making you look like a fool and dragging you through the mud, you know, so you owe me one. And I don't think that's not where Robert Kraft's coming from. So I don't want public to perceive it that way because Robert Kraft is saying, I'm no bigger than anybody else. Let's move on with business as usual. Brady's thing is a player thing, but from a league standpoint, let's move forward. But if ever down the line something else happened and Roger Goodell went easy, everyone's just going to write that story. It's, oh, because he went overboard last time. Now he's going to make up for it this time. And the next time any other team does it and it's their first offense, which Roger Goodell are you going to get? Are you going to get the easy guy that took, you know,
or the tough?
Or are you going to get the tough guy?
Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio saying, my knee-jerk, cynical guess, the league has already given the Patriots a back-channel promise that they are going to severely reduce Tom Brady's suspension on appeal.
But that... Yeah. In this case, you not only have to question Roger Goodell and what he's doing because his name, you know, is at the bottom of everything that's passed, whether it's the concussions, whether it's the rule changes and so on and so forth or brought into effect. But you know who else is going to be in question is, of course, Troy Vincent, you know, his really second in command because he oversaw.
That was his punishment.
It was his punishment. Him and his team, you know, got handed off the Wells report by Roger Goodell. And so they investigated that Wells report. They dissected it and brought that punishment to New England. So Roger Goodell's got to reap it because his name's, you know, at the top and he's on the football. But Troy Vincent and his team are now going to have some type of investigation. If I were Roger Goodell, I'd want to know why and how and where that was all coming from.
And it's interesting, too, because does this mean the Patriots don't support Tom Brady anymore? Are they still going to support Tom Brady? Where is he going to be? Because he doesn't want to put one team's interest above the 32, as he said, so they won't appeal their punishment. But he is going to back up. He had said, we stand behind Tom Brady, but now does that still hold true? It'll be very interesting. I think it means that the league said, listen, just let's end this and we'll reduce Tom Brady to a game and we'll all move on.
Yeah. And also, too, I mean, from Robert Kraft's standpoint, living and thinking in the now, it makes sense if that actually does happen.
Of course.
Because, you know, having Tom, you know, being discounted 2 to 3 games that the Patriots may lose without Tom to be, you know, 0-1, but then have him for the next 3.
This is a team that's focused on winning another Super Bowl right now.
They have
those draft picks are more for the future.
Yes.
They need to focus on
that. Yeah, and the
right
$1 million is a nickel out of Kraft's pocket.
Yeah, it's a nice thing that's not a big deal to him. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about Robert Kraft. We've got some other NFL news to talk about. The conference finals in the NBA open up today. At 1:30, we're going to hear from Paul Kruger. And then at 2 o'clock, Joel Corey, the former agent turned contract specialist, to get a deep dive look at the Tashaun Gibson situation for the Cleveland Browns. We're going to talk about all of that. So that's coming up right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.